1, 2.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lighthouse. So good to see you. And we have a few announcements we'd like to make you aware of things going on. We want to remind you, you can always check out our website. We do have a calendar of events on there, so make sure you're getting involved. But today is Youth Sunday, so you will notice we have some young people helping with greeting at the door, with announcements, with worship. So make sure you talk to them at the end of the service. Let them know how much you appreciate them, because how many of you know they are part of the body as well, and we need them. So this morning I have Sister Jostyn, and she is helping me with announcements.
Good morning. On Saturday, May 20th at 5 o'clock is Target kickoff here at the church. Hot dogs will be provided, and everybody is welcome. Lighthouse Connection will be combined with the service that night.
All right, we also wanted to let you know this is not an event that we are putting on or hosting, but it is open to the community. So it is a pray and worship revival happening at Ghost Town, and that is also on Saturday, May 20th, starting at 11 a.m. And they are providing lunch. And everyone is welcome to that as well. So if you go to that, we still want you to come to Target kickoff at 5 p.m., but you could do both if you'd like.
Women's Mentoring Moments this Friday at 7 p.m. with Pastor Alicia, ages 16 and up. Meeting in large classroom, use old front door.
Okay, and our last announcement for today is our family nights on Wednesday. So during the summer, those are a little bit different, at least for the adults, because we are doing a Reach and Teach Bible series. So even if you've never come to Wednesday nights, we really, really encourage you, because this is very directional for our church. This is where we feel like God is speaking to the Lighthouse. We need to be reaching out into people. We need to be teaching and discipling people, and we're going to help you learn how to do that. So if you feel like, I have no idea where to start with that, we want you to come on Wednesday night so we can discuss it. And if you feel like, hey, I'm a pro at that, we want you to come on Wednesday night so you can share with us how well you do that. And so those are Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And we started that this past Wednesday. And if you missed it, go back and watch the live stream. The first part, there was a lot of scripture reading, but especially after that, because what Sister Betty pointed out is we went through all these scriptures, and she said, this is what we're called to do. It's a big job, and so we need to be taking it seriously. So go back and watch that, and then come out this Wednesday as we continue to talk about outreach. And then she also encouraged us to memorize some of those scriptures, because how many of you know the Word of God is living? And when you get it inside of you, it will come out of you. So that's a good starting point, is just get in your Word so that it can come out of you. And at this time, we have Brother Jesse and Brother Lucas coming up with our call to worship scripture. Can we all give Jostyn a hand for helping us out this morning?
Thank you, Jostyn.
Well, good morning. As Pastor Alicia said, we have some youth helping us out this morning, and this is Lucas, and he's decided to read the scripture for the call to worship.
Ephesians 3:16. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit.
Good job, Lucas. Thank you for that. And as I was reading this scripture, I thought about someone who had a lot of inner strength. And David came to mind, King David. And I thought about the battle between David and Goliath, which really came down to David being empowered with inner strength to even begin to face this enemy. Because that's what it took, in my mind, for David to come up against an opponent who was more than twice his size. And everything that was riding on this battle. So God gave David inner strength. First of all, he believed that God could fight this battle. David knew that it wasn't going to be him fighting the battle. You knew in the scriptures preceding this that that's what David was believing. God gave David faith, and he gave him courage to accomplish this purpose. David had to rely on something other than just physical strength, because the scripture gives a definition of David. He wasn't a very big person, right? But if you don't know the story, Goliath was 9 feet tall. Goliath was a big dude, and here was David, not even fully developed yet, and going to face this giant. So David had to rely on something other than just physical strength. God supplied him with courage and faith to accomplish his purpose through David. Trust in God, and he will supply us with what we need for his purpose. And sometimes that is just the inner strength to say yes to God. Amen? So I want to encourage you, if you're going through a tough choice, God will give you the inner strength to do what you need to do. Amen? If you would stand with me, we'll pray over the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we give you thanks, God, for what you're doing, for what you're working in us, for what you're working through us. God, now we just pray that you bless these tithes and these offerings. Use them to give strength to your people and to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment, Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Oh, rattling.
And that cross no fire. Stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Yeah, resurrection power runs in my veins too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out, I'm going. gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. My God, He's able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that He wants to. Oh, sing it out. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that He won't do. Just ask the stone that was rolled at the tomb in the garden. What happens when God says move? I feel it doing it now. I feel it doing it now. I feel it doing it now. Do it now. Do it now. This is sound. Praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again.
Oh, oh. Yes, I hear the sound. Yes, I hear the sound.
Yes, I hear the sound.
This is what He says. There, dry bones hear the word of the Lord. And there. Dry bones hear the word of the Lord and live. Dry bones hear the word of the Lord and live. Oh, this is
the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again.
Oh,
open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again.
Yeah, open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again.
This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Rattling.
Chains off of us, amen. We have something to worship Him with this morning. We have a reason to lift up His name this morning. We thank You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. You are good, God. You are merciful. You are mighty, God, and You're my Savior, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. Your mercy never failed me all my days have been held in Your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life. like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I will sing of the goodness of God. Goodness, but I'm thankful that in God's word he says he delights in showing mercy. Amen. Even when we don't deserve it, he delights in showing mercy to his people. So even when we feel like you're so good, God, and I don't deserve this goodness, he shed his blood to give you that this morning. And he delights in showing mercy upon his people. So let's sing that one more time this morning.
I just feel like we need to take a moment to be very intentional about thanking God for what he has done. I've heard people say even when they look back at when they were living in sin, they can see times when God was faithful to them. God was good to them even when they weren't being good to God. Anybody relate to that? So I want you to take a moment and just think of some time in your life when you know God was good. God was faithful. The Bible says we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That blood is part of his goodness to us, right? So think of a moment. I want everyone in here to think of a moment from the youngest to the oldest. We have all experienced the goodness of God. Think of a time when he was good to you. And then in your own voice, in your own words, I think we need to lift up a shout of praise and glory. And we're not going to sing for a minute. They can keep playing music, but I want to hear you tell God thank you. Oh, we worship. Church, when we don't take time to praise him, what we turn into is very spoiled children. That we just accept, or we expect the faithfulness, we expect the goodness, we expect the blessings. But if we don't turn it into praise, then we're acting like spoiled brats. And nobody else benefits. But when we praise him for what he's done, others will see. Others will know there is a God. We have a good Father. And so as we sing it again, let's just one more time thank him. Thank him for all he has done in your life. He has been so, so good to us.
Thank you. circumstances would change. I left the fear and died would flee.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is born when the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Let's sing this out together.
Oh, what a Savior. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. That's something to be happy about this morning. What a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. That's why we're here this morning. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing this together. Show away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, no other
just lift your hands. I want to give you the invitation to just lift your hands as a sign of surrender, opening yourself up to praise unto a God that loved you so much that he would give himself and shed his blood and die for you. Amen. Yeah, I already got that message. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor. Come on, praise him. We need to give him praise in here this morning, right now. Let's not rush this. Let's not rush this. Sometimes we just need to sit in his presence. Let him do what he's doing. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God is working in hearts right now. Some of you, he's just bringing refreshment. He's bringing refreshment to your souls, hearts, and your minds. That's why we come together and praise, and we need that refreshment. The fullness of joy is in the presence of the Lord, is what the psalmist wrote, told us. So you need to just receive that. Some of you, God is just dealing with some things more and more, and some stuff is just dropping off of you in worship and in praise. Things try to cling on to us, grab a hold of us in this world, and we just need a washing sometimes of the word and of his presence. And sometimes we think that comes only by preaching, but how many know that we're singing the word of God, right? So as we sing the word of God, he does the same work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this work. We've already given you thanks this morning, but we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you're refocusing us right now in our hearts and minds. Those who came in overwhelmed by circumstances in their heart are not overwhelmed anymore because they're seeing how great a God they serve. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do something with me. And I'm going to ask Brian and Maggie, would you guys come up? I know this is kind of different. And they're our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're just visiting with us this morning because they attend a different church. And the reason I'm asking them to come up is because I'm asking them to stand in for their pastor this morning. You see, the church that they belong to and they attend is Only Believe Ministries in Botkins. And their pastor, who is my pastor and my apostle, is not well this morning. He's not doing very well. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to stand in faith with us. A message went out. He'd had some issues, and it seemed like things were being taken care of, and all of a sudden he just started making a turn for the worse. And a message went out this morning that he needs our prayer. And this isn't just some pitiful little thing we're doing or some ceremonial thing we're doing. Church, hear me. Prayer is what works. Prayer moves God. And so, Pastor Dosey has prayed for so many people. So many people. And it's time. He's in a moment and a time where he needs the body of Christ to pray for him. And we're going to come together and do that. Pastor Darius, I want you to come up with me if you can, please. And if I can get the prayer team, Sister Tricia Klaus, Sister Tricia Triano, Pastor Alicia, come. We're going to lay hands on this couple. They're standing instead for their pastor this morning. And this is what we call a point of contact, all right? I mean, you know we have prayer cloths, right? That's a point of contact where we can look at something tangible and use our faith to believe God to move. And so this couple here is standing together in faith as our point of contact, since they are part of his flock that he shepherds. And we're going to believe God to do the impossible this morning. We're going to believe God to do a miracle, and we're going to see God move. Amen. So let's just join in faith together right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we lay hands on this couple, we do it in the name of Jesus, but as they stand instead for their pastor, Pastor Dosik, and we thank you, God, for a healing right now. Now we command these lungs to open up and drain right in the now, in the name of Jesus. Breath come back to the prophet of God so that he can speak forth your word right now in the name of Jesus. You see the vital organs, Lord, and the things that are going on in them. We speak healing and health right now to the life of Peter Dosik. We thank you, God, that we can stand in faith and believe. And you bore those stripes. You were whipped on your back for our healing. And so, Father, we just receive healing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose the working of miracles, Lord, to move in his body right now in the name of Jesus. We stand together in faith, Lord. And your word says that if two would come in agreement touching any one thing, it shall be done. We stand in agreement right now, Father. You see the other churches across America praying. You see Only Believe praying, Lord, and you hear our cry. And Father, you will move and intervene right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, right now. For your glory, God. For your glory, God. We thank you that you're moving. We thank you that you're healing right now, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands with us right now. Give God thanks. He's heard our prayers. That's a promise from the Word of God. We serve a miracle-working God. We serve a healing God. He is able and he's doing the work. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for the finished work on the cross. We thank you for the finished work on the cross. Hallelujah. 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 We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't see you here this morning. Thanks for coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many are thankful that in our time of need we can cry out to God? He hears our prayers and he answers them. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to continue to keep your heart in an attitude of worship. But there's some other people we want to pray for this morning. This is something that's near and dear to my heart. Pastor Alicia, would you come and help me this morning? But we want all the graduates, if you're graduating high school or maybe even graduating college, we want you to come forward. We're going to pray over you. If they're not here, but you are a friend of them or a family member of them, you can come and stand with them or for them this morning. I want to encourage you to do that. Yes. And you guys can face us. Yeah. And have their, if someone up here is your family that's graduating, come on up behind them. We're going to pray together for these graduates. And I'd like to encourage them before they make this full transition. Some of them have already begun to walk through the process of things. First of all, congratulations. You made it. You made it through a journey that you guys were on, right? How exciting is that? Why don't you give them a hand? And I want to just share a few words with you guys. especially you high schoolers and maybe even some of you college grads, people like to make statements like, well, you're going to have to enter the real world now, right? Don't you just hate that? Like the world you've been living in is fake, right? Right? And we understand and know what people mean by that. But I want to encourage you, what really is happening is just a transition in your life. Some of you are transitioning out of a high school into a college, technical college, a university. That's where you're heading. Some of you are transitioning out of high school into a workforce setting. Some of you are transitioning out of college into a whole nother world, right? And it's not that you're making your way into the real world. It's you're making a transition. And transitions can be difficult because change means that we're walking into a place that we don't know, that we haven't lived in before, that we haven't been in before, right? We're moving into an area that we some of you have just finished up 4 years of high school. Well, guess what? You got high school. We're pretty well figured out by now, 4 years of it, right? Some of you are finishing college. You had college pretty well figured out by now, you know, and you could wait till the last minute to do that paper because you got you got all that figured out, how you could type that paper up real quick and you know what the professor was looking for, right? You become accustomed to that. And so you're moving into a new area that you're not accustomed to. And sometimes that can bring some worry, some anxiety, some like, oh man, I don't know. And the truth be told, the people that are standing behind you are probably more anxious than you are, because they love you so much and they want to see you be successful. And I know that some of you may be heading to the military, which is such an honor. And thank you for your service. And I believe that that's going to work out, even though it's not looking like it right now. In God's timing, that's going to work out, brother. And so what we want to do is pray for you, but just give you words of encouragement that when you begin to walk and step into areas that you haven't been before, and it's a transition, that first of all, there's a promise in the scripture that says God will go before you. So God's already going before and preparing the way for you. And you may not know all the details yet. You may only have little bits and pieces of the details. But know this, God is already preparing things ahead of time for you. And all he's asking you to do is to follow him. Now, some of you are trying to make decisions on what's the next step. Some of you have figured out, okay, I'm going to go to this college and I think I'm going to major in this, or I'm going to go and apply for jobs here and do this. And this is actually the fun and exciting part of life. But it doesn't always feel fun, right? You're like, man, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do here. And, you know, I mean, my wife is years old, and she is just now figuring out what she wants to do when she grows up. She's back in college getting her master's right now so she can become to be a school counselor. So I want to encourage you, don't think you got to have it all figured out ahead of time. Why? Because God is going before you and preparing the way. Pastor Alicia, why don't you say something?
I was thinking of the scripture that says God created you in your mother's womb. He knew you. And so if he knew you before you were even born, he has everything laid out. And I've seen people do this one of two ways. Some people decide, I'm just going to try to figure it out on my own. And it's a whole lot of trial and error, ups and downs, heartache, stress. Or the other way is people say, I'm going to seek God and let him show me. And I can guarantee you the second way is the better way. He has a good plan for your life, and if you seek him, he will show you. And so I encourage you, all of you that I'm looking at, seeds have been planted into you. You know who God is. Mm-hmm. Don't leave him in these moments.
Yes.
Instead, draw closer to him, because now it's your time to make your own decisions.
Amen.
And so let him lead and guide you in that.
Amen. So we're going to pray over these and those that are standing in for graduates that aren't here with us. We're going to just believe God, that he is going to make things clear to them. God can reveal himself to people. Amen. We are hearing all the time of testimonies of people that are seeing Jesus in areas that Jesus isn't even being preached. He's revealing himself to them. And God is going to set up your steps and guide you. And so I want to just pray over you, encourage you. And so now what we're going to do is have your church family stand up and stretch your hands this way, church family, as we begin to pray for these graduates. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for every individual that's represented here right now. We thank you for the destiny that you have placed upon their life. We thank you for the progression and the steps that you've given them this far to get where they are. And God, I thank you that you're going before them and preparing the way. And God, I thank you that you've planted seeds in their heart, that they have heard your word, and that word will guide them and keep them, because it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so, Father, I thank you as they continue to seek you, you're going to make that path even clearer, Lord, that you are showing the way for them to go, that you're revealing to them the purpose of their life, why you have placed them here, and the lives that they're going to touch, and the lives that they're going to change by the power of the Holy Spirit that rests upon them through their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray that you would keep them, you would watch over them, you would protect them as they transition into this new phase of life, Lord, that you would continue to reveal to them what it is that they're really doing for you, not just living life, but what they're doing for you. And that in this next phase, Lord, that their faith would grow in you and continue to grow in you, that their personal relationship would cause them to draw closer to you in those times of distress, in the hardships that come, because we all have them because of this life. I thank you, Lord, that they know who to cry out to and whose name to use, the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you will carry them through that, Lord, in the blessings of life, in the times of celebration and rejoicing, such as right now as we celebrate and rejoice with them as they graduate. Lord, I pray that they will remember your name and remember who you are and what you have done for them. And we give you thanks right now for every gift that you've placed inside of them. We thank you, Lord, for the gift that they are to us and the blessing and the heritage they are to us, Lord. We give you thanks for them right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Give them one more hand this morning. You guys may be seated. Thank you guys so much. It's important to recognize what God's doing in our lives. Amen. It's important to give him knowledge, or give him credit for the knowledge that he's given us. And so we like to pray over our graduates. I know some of them, graduation isn't until the end of this month, but we wanted to make sure we got them all in. Amen. Well, this is Youth Sunday, and we're going to transition here, and I'm going to have Brother Daniel come, and I'm going to need another microphone. I thought maybe you would just do it in English, Daniel, but... Oh, he was going to let me translate, huh? I'm going to give the translator mic number two, sound people, just so you know.
Interpreter.
Yeah, the interrupter or the interpreter is going to use mic two. All right, so Brother Daniel's going to come for Youth Sunday. He's going to share a testimony, a word that God has given him for you today. So go ahead, brother.
Buenos días, Dios les bendiga a todos.
Good morning, God bless you all.
Estoy contento de estar aquí esta mañana.
I'm really happy to be here this morning.
Y como decía el pastor, voy a dar un testimonio de cómo Dios me ha bendecido de una manera muy, muy linda.
And as our pastor was saying, I'm going to share a testimony how God has blessed me in a very beautiful way.
Voy a empezar cuando tenía 13 o 14 años, que tuve que moverme de la ciudad donde crecí y viví.
I'm going to start by saying when I was 13, 14 years old, I had to move out of the city where I grew up and lived.
Eso significó dejar a mis amistades, a las personas que conocía.
And that meant to leave behind all my friends and all my brothers that I've met all my life.
Y empezar a conocer gente nueva.
And to start over and get to know new people.
Al principio me costó, me sentía solo, ¿no? No tenía nadie con quien hablar.
In the beginning it was really tough. I didn't have anybody to talk to. I felt lonely.
Y la verdad me costó un poco al principio.
And honestly, it was kind of tough for me at the beginning.
Luego conocí a alguien.
Then I met somebody.
Fue mi pareja en ese tiempo.
And she was my girlfriend during that time.
Y en ese momento pensé que era la solución o empecé a sentir un poco más, por así decirlo, no solo.
And through that relationship, I thought it was the solution. And then I started being with someone like I was not alone anymore.
Al cabo del tiempo, esa relación se rompió.
But after some time, that relationship broke.
Yo sé que Dios quiso que se rompiera.
And I know it was God wanting that to happen.
Y luego empezó de nuevo esa soledad.
And then the loneliness came back again.
Empecé a sentirme solo de nuevo.
I felt alone again.
Y me sentía muy, muy mal. Estaba.
And I was feeling really, really bad.
Luego de eso sí empecé a conocer unos amigos.
After that I met some friends.
Pero fue empezando ya a conocer las cosas de la calle.
But then those friends were not Christian, so I started kind of like leaning towards the things of the world.
Empecé a probar las cosas malas.
And then I started trying and tasting the bad things.
Cuando hablaba con mi papá y discutíamos de esa manera, yo le decía, yo quiero probar las cosas malas, quiero saber qué es lo que se siente.
I used to argue with my dad and I would tell him, I want to try the bad things, I want to feel how it feels.
Porque en mi cabeza era todo bueno.
Because in my head everything was good.
Bueno, creo que a veces todos necesitamos esa bofetada, ¿no?, de la vida.
Sometimes we all need that slap in the face from life.
Para aprender de que no todo es color de rosa o no todo es muy lindo.
To learn that everything is not so good as it looks.
Y ahí está, esa bofetada me dio en la cara y
and that slap in my face
fue fuerte para mí.
Was for me.
Fue fuerte.
Was very strong.
Y al cabo del tiempo empezaron a aparecer los falsos amigos.
And then after a while, some fake friends starting popping up.
Pero a la vez encontré buenos amigos.
But at the same time, I found some good friends.
Que la pasaba muy bien con ellos.
That I used to hang with them and we had a good time.
La verdad es que me sentí ahí de nuevo muy bien. Me sentí.
I started feeling well again.
No me sentí solo porque podía hablar con ellos mucho tiempo.
And I wasn't feeling that lonely anymore because I was able to talk to them.
Y llega la noticia de que tengo que moverme de Cuba a Estados Unidos.
And then we got the news that we had to move out of Cuba and come to the United States.
Eso me chocó un poco a mí.
And that was really tough for me again.
Porque es como que al fin encontré esas buenas personas, esos buenos
like
amigos.
I already made some good friends, some good people that I already know.
Y tengo que dejarlos para irme a otro país.
And I leave them again to go to a new place.
Eso me dolió.
That hurt me.
Pero yo soy fiel creyente de que Dios quita a personas de tu vida porque ya cumplieron ese propósito en ti.
But I'm a firm believer that many times God takes people out of your life because they already fulfilled the purpose that he had for you with those people.
Porque tiene un nuevo propósito para ti, para
and
tu vida.
And it's just that he has a new purpose for you and I.
Tiene nuevas personas.
And he's got new people for you to know.
Que te van a hacer sentir no,
that will
no,
make you feel
no solo, sino como una familia.
Not lonely anymore, but as a family.
Y eso fue lo que Dios ha hecho en mi vida. Me ha bendecido mucho desde que yo llegué aquí.
And that's what God has done in my life. He has blessed me so much since I got to this place.
Me mostró que el verdadero amor está aquí en la iglesia.
And he showed me that true love is in the church of Christ.
Estas personas que vienen conmigo y comparten todos los días.
People here that come with me and they share with me every day.
Y la verdad me siento muy emocionado por tenerlos a todos ustedes.
And today I feel so excited to be able to have you. Have all of you in my life.
Porque recuerdo que una vez Allison dijo que sabemos dónde está la felicidad, pero aún así no vamos a ella.
I remember Allison said one time, we know where happiness is, but we just don't want to go where it is.
Y es la verdad, a veces sabemos que ahí está el gozo, ahí está el amor.
And it's true, we know where joy is, we know where happiness is, we know where love is.
Pero no queremos ir ahí.
But we don't want to go there.
Porque decimos, ah, no, es que no es muy divertido, no es muy bueno.
Because we say, well, no, it's not so fun, it's not so good, really.
Y la verdad es que es el verdadero amor.
And the truth is that this is where true love is.
En este tiempo aquí también me reconcilié con Dios.
After I got here, I also reconciled with God.
Porque estaba muy perdido.
Because I was lost.
Y Dios me mostró de nuevo ese enfoque.
And God refocused me again. He showed me that again.
Y fue hermoso para mi vida.
And it was beautiful for my life.
Porque me gusta mucho esta frase que dice.
Because I love this phrase that says.
Yo la repito mucho.
And I always say it.
De que un ladrón no entra a una casa vacía.
A thief never breaks into an empty home.
Entonces, cuando vemos que el diablo viene y nos ataca y,
so when we see Satan coming and attacking us,
y nos golpea bien fuerte,
and he tries to hit you hard,
¿sabes por qué es?
You know why that's happening?
Porque él tiene miedo de ti y lo que
because
hay dentro de ti.
He's afraid of you and he's afraid what's inside of you.
Él tiene miedo de lo que tú puedes hacer en un futuro.
He's afraid of where you will become in the future.
Por eso quiere venir y golpearte
that's
y hacerte
why
sentir
he
mal.
Wants to come and hit you and make you feel miserable.
Para que ese propósito que Dios tiene contigo,
so the purpose that God has for you,
sea destruido.
Will be destroyed.
Pero entonces es cuando hay que ser fuerte.
But this is the time to be strong.
Cuando el diablo venga
when
a golpearte,
the devil comes to attack you,
cuando venga a golpearte,
when he comes to hit you,
no tengas miedo.
Do not be afraid.
Porque él es el que te tiene miedo a ti.
Because it's the devil that's supposed to be afraid of you.
Y eso es muy real.
And that is so real.
Porque a veces creemos que Dios es el más fuerte y sí lo es.
We believe that God is the strongest and he is the strongest.
Pero el diablo también es fuerte.
But the devil has some strength sometimes.
Entonces hay que tener mucho cuidado.
So you have to be watchful.
Porque él puede llegar a doblarte.
Because he can break you.
Y desviarte por el camino incorrecto.
And try to create detours in your life.
Del camino correcto, ajá. Y por eso yo le doy muchas gracias a Dios.
That's why I give God all give thanks to God.
Porque me ha dado esa fuerza.
He has given me that strength.
Que muchas veces he caído.
That I have fallen many times.
Pero él me ha levantado.
But God has always lifted me up.
Porque él es más fuerte que el diablo.
Because God is stronger than the devil.
Gracias Dios.
Thank you God.
Y gracias a todos ustedes.
Thank you church.
No voy a robarle más tiempo al pastor que tiene que predicar.
I don't want to take more time from the pastor. He's got to preach.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we've heard the word already. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like what he said at the end there. He's fallen many times, but he's just gotten back up. The Bible says, though a righteous person falls 7 times, they'll get back up. Did you hear what kind of person? A righteous person. A righteous person will fall 7 times. They'll get back up. Right? It doesn't matter what we are or who we are or what's going on in our lives. The key is to get back up. Whenever we fall, put our faith back where it belongs, which is in Jesus Christ. And that is, thank you. Gracias. Gracias. Thank you so much. Because that was a great testimony. That was a great testimony. Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our students to go to their classes this morning. And also release you to take your babies to nursery if you want to do that. And as they're doing that, I just want to make you aware of a few things. First of all, I want to reiterate what was said to you in announcements this morning about Wednesday nights. I understand our schedules are very busy and midweek service can be tough to get to at times because there's work in the middle of the week and there's all kinds of different things going on with our students and our children and things like that. And so I'm not saying this to try to guilt you at all, so please don't take it that way. Sometimes pastors beat people up over the head for not coming to church, and that's not me, okay? Please hear me. But I do want to share this with you, that I do believe that we are in a very important season in this church. that God is really directing us, and what we're doing is very, very purposeful. And so we're teaching a series here on Wednesdays right now that is going to really stir this local body of believers to get outside of ourselves and begin to see the world around us, but not only see the world around us, but to have great compassion for them, that we are moved like Jesus was by his compassion that he's giving us for them, and it will cause us to do something about their situation. That means we're going to share the love of Jesus with them, that we're going to come alongside of them, and we're going to teach them things that we've learned in the Word of God. And I encourage every believer to understand and realize your importance in the kingdom of heaven and your importance to reaching other people and teaching other people. You are vital to the movement of Jesus Christ. It is not just the pastor's job. It's just not church leader's job. And you don't have to worry about how much scripture you know. You don't have to worry about all of those things because they're not looking for a sermon. Listen to me real close here. If people wanted a sermon in America, they know where to get a sermon. They're looking for a life experience. That you have something inside of you that you have experienced, and you begin to share it with them. And let me tell you what, they're going to listen. They're going to grab a hold of that. And just be honest with them and tell them, hey, man, I couldn't quote one verse to you if you can't. Just tell them, I couldn't quote one verse of the Bible to you, but let me tell you what I know about God. Let me tell you what I know about Jesus. Let me tell you what he did for me. Let me tell you how I've experienced him in my life. That's what people need to hear. And we need to get back to that as a church, amen? And so that's what we're doing on Wednesday nights. We're just wanting to stir your hearts to do that. And I'm just telling you, be ready. Because as we move into this new phase of this year, what God is doing in our hearts, you're going to get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And it's not going to be convenient. Smile at me. It's not going to be that you planned it to happen that way. You're going to have interruptions. It's going to make life more difficult at times. You're going to sit there and you're going to think, oh man, I got this time constraint and this person keeps talking to me, and you're feeling that tug in your heart that you need to share something with them, but you're thinking, but man, I got to get to this next thing. And here's what's going to happen. If you push it by and ignore it, you're going to get to that next thing and you're going to find out that they're running late. Or you're going to find yourself in traffic and you're going to be even more frustrated. And I'm telling you, it's not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out when you try to bypass what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in you and through you. But if you just trust God, I'm telling you, this is a word for somebody. If you just trust God in that moment and say, okay, it seems like I'm going to be late to this thing if I deal with this, but I feel the Holy Spirit telling me to do this, so I'm going to go ahead and do it, then guess what? God will work it all out for you. The Bible says that he will redeem the time for us. And so let's trust him through that process. Amen? Well, man, it's been a busy week, but it's been an exciting week. And so before I go into the Word of God this morning, I want to share some things with you. I'm terrible about this, and I wrote some notes to remind myself. Because I think it's important that we all know what's going on. We all know what God's doing. And I do want to share with you that I can't remember if it was this week or last week or when it was, but I did one of the Pakistan crusades again. And it was this week I did a Pakistan crusade? Okay. What day was it, Pastor Darius, since you know my schedule for me? I can't even remember. A Monday. Praise God, it was Monday. Well, I wanted to give you the report that we got back because God just moved in such a great way in that. And if you don't know what that is, what we do is we do Zoom calls, and they go to these remote villages in Pakistan, the second largest Muslim nation in the world. And they set up what looks like a big sheet, and they have a projector, and they put my ugly mug on this big old sheet. And I can hear them. They have some type of a microphone where I can hear the crowd. And then I have an interpreter that is on the Zoom call as well. I don't know where they are at, but they're not on the grounds where we're preaching to these people. And we preach the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. We pray for them. We see God move. And we send, I think, typically $300 every time we do that. And that is to purchase Bibles. That they get Bibles in their language and they pass them out to people who are there so that they can have Bibles in their community, that people can read the word. And so this last time we had over 80 healings and miracles take place just Monday in that meeting, where people, I mean, there was some amazing things, and I didn't remember to look up the text message, but I think, you know, eyes even opened up. People could see. There was healing in bodies and bones and just some amazing things that God did that day. It was just, and it's morning for me when I'm preaching, but it's evening for them. But this is what I always love to rejoice about. 96 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? He's faithful, and they just need to hear the preaching of the gospel. They're hungry. And so I know some of you give towards our missions and things like that, and that's what we do. And so I wanted to make sure that you were aware of that, and we're always taking money and sending there. We also do pastor conferences in Pakistan, and then I do different programs. We were on a program on Trumpet Television this week also. I believe that was Friday morning that we did that. God just moved in a tremendous way there. We got to minister to people in hearts and lives, and so we're doing that. And then this week was also the National Day of Prayer. I just want to say that we had an amazing event there in Findlay, and I thank you all for that. Put it on there. Sister Tammy is one that helps head that up, and so thank you, Sister Tammy, for that. And that was just an amazing thing that we got to be a part of that. Pastor Darius ministered with us, and that was a cool moment because we didn't talk to each other at all, and he was preaching out of 1 Kings chapter 18, and I was preaching out of 1 Kings chapter 18. Imagine that. Pretty cool when we know the Holy Ghost is working, right? Speaking to us. And so we just had a wonderful time. And then this weekend we had our men's conference, and I want to just thank the guys who were able to go to that with us. We had a wonderful time in the Lord. Our global men's ministry leader was there, Pastor Jimmy Patillo, and he just ministered a great word two times. We had breakout sessions, and we had just a great time of fellowship, and God just moved in a mighty way. There was one moment where we were in worship before the second message was even preached, and this young man came down weeping, just weeping, came to the altar. The presence of God hit him so hard, he was literally shaking and weeping. And men of God just gathered around him and prayed for him. And I just believe God gave him a breakthrough. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. And I thought to myself, although I know God did much more than just that, I thought to myself, if this was the only thing that happened this weekend, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. 122 guys, well, 123, one showed up late. I'm picking on somebody in the room right now. 123 guys showed up at a church on a Saturday to hang out, to learn more about Jesus Christ. It was amazing. So we've already had an amazing weekend. We thank you all for your support and everything that you're doing in this church. You know, it takes all of us. It takes all of us. And I really mean that, and I need you to get that. It takes all of us. This is not my church. This is not Pastor Joe's church. If I hear you telling people that, the spirit of slap may come over me. And I might have to do one of these. Right? No, I'm just picking on you a little bit. But I want you to know this is not Joe Turner's church. This is the church of the living God. And we are the body of Christ. And we work together as the body of Christ to fulfill our purpose in this world so that we can bring the kingdom of God into this generation. Amen? And that's what we're doing together. And so from time to time, I like to take a moment, share some things that God is doing. The men's ministry, just so you know, the global men's ministry has got all kinds of stuff going on throughout the years, throughout this year, and there's some things I'm looking into. I'll just give you a heads up. They're having a man camp in August that I'm thinking about going to. I heard amazing things about it. They got some cool stuff. I'm going to try to get some of our younger men to go to that because they have zip lining and all these cool activities. Brother Randy, would you like to go zip lining with me at man camp? Okay. I just want to make sure I offered it to you, brother. I thought you might want to do that. No. So you understand what I'm saying. Some of the younger guys are going to like that. But then every night they have powerful services where we come together. And they gave us so many statistics yesterday of how if the man will come to church, if the man will do what he needs to do, it changes the family dynamic drastically. And so we want to be men of God. We want to stand up. And I couldn't help myself but think of that scripture in 1 Corinthians 16. It's towards the end of the chapter there. And it's in the King James Version. It's an old English phrase. It says, quit ye like men. And we look at that and go, what in the world does that mean? And we don't know that expression anymore. But it basically says, man up. Be a man. Be a man. That's what he's telling us. Hey, you're going to go through hardships and trials and tribulations in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world and I'm with you. And he's saying all these things that the church is going to go through. And he says, now quit you like men, or be men. Stand up. And not just mere men, but godly men. Amen. And I appreciate the men in this church and the things that they do for the kingdom. And yeah, some of us are West Virginia men, right? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning and you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to go and revisit this again. Last week, for some reason, I was all over the place and preached five different messages in one message. And so we're going to try to kind of bring some more clarity to this. I felt like the Lord wanted me to. But in saying that, I do feel like we did what God wanted us to do last week. And I want to encourage you to continue to hold on to this word. And what I was sharing with you last week in this time that we are in, this season that we are in, where we are carrying something that God's put in us. It's making us uncomfortable. It's not, doesn't feel the way we want it to feel because we have been impregnated with the word of God. We are the bride of Christ, right? And we are carrying his word. And it's growing in us and growing in us and growing in us. And we're approaching the day of delivery, the day where we will see the thing come to pass that he's spoken to us. And so that does make us uncomfortable. And in those times where we're uncomfortable, it's easy to begin to allow our flesh to dictate to us what we're going to do, how we're going to react, how we're thinking. How many of you have ever been in pain before and you're trying to complete tasks around your house or maybe go to work, but you get so distracted, you get lost, you start one thing and then stop and start another thing and stop and start another thing, and you feel so spread out in your house because you're in pain and really your mind is focused on the pain, right? And so as we have growing pains in us personally, I'm not talking about corporately here, I'm not talking about growing pains in the church, which sometimes that happens. And I think of late we've experienced some of that as we have more people adding to us. And that's wonderful. Those are great pains to have and things that we work through. But I'm talking about in your personal relationship right now, that God's stretching you, that you're having an Isaiah 54 moment where you're enlarging your borders. He's stretching you. And it's painful. It can hurt. And so if we're not careful, our focus will be on that pain. And then as we're focusing on that pain that we're experiencing, we're feeling, we're dealing with, then all of a sudden we become short with the ones we love the most. We are as loving and caring and kind as we need to be. And it's in those moments that we have to make sure we're focusing on what our task is to do. And so I'm coming to you with this message, not because I've see problems happening right now. Hear me. But as your pastor, I want to be very pastoral in this message this morning and come to you with a warning that says, hey, Let's be prepared. Let's be prepared. And I told you last week that as you prepare to have a child, you pack a go bag because you know that you're going to have to be going to the hospital at some point, and you've prepared yourself to go and do that, right? So let's, as the church of God, be prepared for all these babies that are going to be born into the kingdom. Amen? Because I believe that people are getting saved. I believe that God is going to reach into people's hearts and lives greater than we already have seen. And as we do that, we need to be prepared to not only reach out to them and bring them into the kingdom and harvest them as laborers of the Lord's harvest, as it is alluded to in Scripture, but we also need to be prepared to raise them up into the kingdom of God. They're babes in Christ, and we need to raise them up. So we need to be ready for that, and this is some things that God has begun to lay on my heart. So I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4 again and just read this real quickly to you. And we're talking about unity, and unity that binds us together. And unity is one of our core values here at the Lighthouse. It's what keeps the other core values working in harmony, because one side of the core values is more spiritual and emotional and mental, and the other side is more service-driven. It's the activity of our core values. And as we continue to keep the unity that God has given us, those two things work hand in hand. And so we treat people with respect, that we treat them with love by honoring them, by being open, but then we're also service-minded, and we do that with excellence, right? So the Bible says here, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." That's what I'm telling you. That be prepared when you're having the stretch pains, because you're getting those stretch marks and things are uncomfortable, that we need to continue to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we have been called. What is the calling? We've been called to be the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. And we need to bear that name with honor. Then verse 2 says, "With all humility and gentleness." Now here we're seeing some of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. "With patience, bearing with one another in love." Now, look. Do you know what bearing with one another means? Sometimes we're like, "Oh, the Scripture's just so beautifully written. Oh man, it's so poetic." Sometimes I like to read the King James Version because it just sounds like poetry, right? The Old English. Bearing one another in love. It means putting up with people. That's what it means. It means when they're getting on your last nerve and you can't hardly stand to be around them. Don't look at your spouse right now. You do it in love. You do it in love.
Yes.
I got these three kids in my house. And you know what they like to do? They like to get annoyed at each other. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that before. But one will be eating cereal. And the other one will stop and just stare at the other one, Jonathan, just like this. This evil, ugly face they give their sibling, and they'll say, "Could you please close your mouth when you're eating your food?" They just drive each other crazy. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the one was not bearing the other one in love at that moment. They had lost it. They lost the love for their sibling. They wanted to go choke them and dump their cereal down the drain so they couldn't eat it anymore. Right? Now, at least they used the word "please," but they didn't use it appropriately. What is the Bible saying to us? The Bible's warning us right here that you're going to have to put up with one another. You're going to have to. It's going to be uncomfortable, and you need to do it in love. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to show His fruit through you in these situations. Why? Because we are called to come together. What does the Bible say then? Verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I told you last week, it's like sitting on the edge of your seat looking for an opportunity for unity. For unity. Now, that's why I love the National Day of Prayer, because there were several churches that came together in unity to pray for our nation. It wasn't about what church I come from and how I want to wear the banner of the Lighthouse Church. No, no, no. It was about the Church of Jesus Christ coming to, and we were eager. We were sitting there, ready, willing, and waiting. And listen, you see, I know it doesn't always work out this way, but can I just share a testimony with you? There's a young man there that he was one of the speakers, and he's on fire for Jesus. He's a college-age student. I love that, because you know what? The devil is trying to lie to the church right now and saying, oh, all your kids are going off to college and they're losing their faith. No, man, this guy was on fire for Jesus. He attends more Bible studies than some of you have ever even thought of going to. I mean, every night this guy's at a Bible study, and sometimes multiple Bible studies in one day. But he's raised in a church culture and a group that he never heard of speaking in tongues before. If he had heard it, he never experienced it. And as we got together and began to pray together, some of us crazy Pentecostals started speaking a heavenly language. And I don't apologize for it. I just tell people, listen, I don't mean to offend you, but sometimes the only way I know how to pray is to let God pray through me. So I'm not doing it to rub it in people's face. And a matter of fact, I even tried to pull the microphone away when I had the microphone, because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But at that point, I didn't know how else to pray. So I just let the Holy Spirit take over and pray for me. But it must have been intentional, because all of a sudden this young man, a fire started burning inside of him. And I heard he had conversations with people later, said, hey, that's the first time I've experienced that. That was pretty cool. That was pretty awesome. You see, sometimes we get so worried about coming together that we're going to offend each other. Let's be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit. Let's come together and believe that God's going to move. I'm not going to make people speak in tongues, but I'm also not going to change who I am in Christ. And let's just love one another and see God move in our generation. It's the power of God that begins to move on us through unity, eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as we are all called to be to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One God. We all serve the same God. Listen, my children have one Father. I'm grateful for that. One Father in their house. But even in the midst of that one Father, they begin to rub each other the wrong way. They begin to get annoyed at each other. My one daughter can't stand that the other daughter leaves her stuff laying around everywhere. She doesn't understand why she doesn't keep everything nice and neat and organized, because that's how she is. The other daughter doesn't understand why this one is so organized all the time and doesn't just throw stuff down, because you can still find it where it's at. What are you saying all this for, Pastor? I'm saying this because I'm telling you that we are not always going to understand each other in the house of God. Sometimes some of our personalities are going to rub each other the wrong way. What we don't understand is that each of us have a specific purpose and a specific gift, and we need one another. We can't do it without each other. Because if we don't have the organized person, then everything goes awry. But if we all are only organized and there is no charismatic person that is willing to just step out there and do something crazy, then nothing ever gets done. We can be so organized but never move.
Amen.
We need both.
Yes.
We need both. We need the organizers to keep everything into alignment the way it's supposed to be. But we also need the people that will say, hey, now let's go do something.
Yeah.
So even though we have the multiple personalities and the different gifts and the different things happening within our body, we are still only one body. And what keeps us bound together, as I was preaching to you last week, is peace. It's peace. It's like a ligament that binds us together. So is keeping the unity of the Spirit and what? The bond of peace. We maintain unity as we are bound by the peace of God. Now, let me just explain this to you. I dealt with this a little bit last week, but let me just explain this to you. Peace and peacekeeping is not always peaceful. It's not. Let me just deal with something right now, okay? I honor and respect and love people who go into the military, the police force, all of those things. I honor and respect them. Their job is so hard right now because we're living in a generation that no longer wants to honor the badge that they wear.
That's right.
And they don't understand the job that they have to do. And for us to keep peace sometimes, we need a peacekeeper.
Yes.
That will step in and say, no, you are not doing that. Back up right now. Well, he hurt my feelings. There was conflict. There was something going on. And peace needed to be kept. Let me just tell you like this. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come and hammer you. And you get all mad and you think it's somebody else. You might blame your wife or your husband for it because you're feeling all bad. When really it's the Spirit of God correcting you because God loves you. And he's trying to maintain peace. And he's saying, hey, knock it off. You fussing and fighting about stuff and you need to stop it. I am keeping peace right now. I'm maintaining peace. The same goes that as the enemy of your soul will come and attack you and try to come at you so that you will lose your peace, the God of peace will rise up and within you, he will crush Satan underneath your feet. That's what the Bible says. Now, that's not very peaceful, but he's keeping peace. And we need to understand as the children of God that when these things start to come up in our lives, when something is trying to steal away our peace, our joy, and our love, we need to recognize, hey, that is not God. And because that is not God, I'm not letting it in my life. And I will maintain the peace that God has given me. I will keep that peace by being bold enough to say, no, you're not coming in my house. Sometimes I tell my kids, listen, that ain't going to happen in my house because I'm going to keep the peace. And that's what God does with us sometimes. It's called being humble and submitting one to another as the scripture teaches us and saying, I will prefer my brother. And listen, this is a hard word for this generation because this generation is growing up with the thought and the idea that, oh, you can't disrespect me. Don't you disrespect me. They think truth is relative to themselves. They think that they can believe whatever they want to believe, and that's truth to them. And if you believe whatever you want to believe, that's truth to you. But if that's true, then guess what? There is no peace.
That's right.
There's no peace.
That's right.
Because we will always be at conflict with one another because when my truth doesn't match up with your truth, then we're not going to agree and we're going to fight about it.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
This is where we are.
Yeah.
And it's time that the Spirit of God step in and say, through us, not anymore. Not anymore. I'm not worried about you disrespecting me. Guess what? I'm going to be disrespected a lot in my life. There are people who will not give me the time of day. They don't care about me. And in spite of all of that, I choose to care about them.
Amen.
And I choose to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace because we are one body.
Yeah.
We serve one God. And I don't care how much people want to lie on me or beat me up or say things. And I'm not saying that because that's what's going on right now. Matter of fact, I don't know any of that going on right now. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not preaching it because I want it to happen. I'm just telling you that sometimes these things begin to happen across the body of Christ, within a local body or across churches. Look, I'm never going to badmouth another church. You're not going to hear me do it. You're not going to hear me do it. Why? Because they are supposed to be called by God. And I have to stand in faith and believe that they are. And therefore, they're God's, not mine. They belong to God. And so God will take care of them if they're not doing things right. Just like he takes care of me when I'm not doing things right. I mean, I get one of them spiritual slaps in the back of the head every once in a while. Straighten up, Joe. That ain't right. You got a wrong attitude there. Love people. Okay, Lord. Yes, Lord. We need that to keep the peace in our life. It's what connects us together. It's what connects us together. So let's keep reading here because I want to get to something that's really important. The Bible says in Colossians this, Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head. Who's the head? Jesus. From whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Now listen to me. If we disconnect ourselves from Jesus Christ, who is the head of the body, then the body will fall apart. We are only nourished by him through his spirit. We gain our strength from him. We gain our purpose from him. We understand what we're supposed to be as we are connected to Jesus Christ. Because he's the head. That means he thinks for us. He gives a command and the body does it, right? But when we pull away from that and we begin to get our own ideas, and we begin to think that we have become something great, and we go into detail, we're all puffed up, and we talk about, well, I saw this and I saw that. You know how many great men of God went off track because they thought they had some great vision and it wasn't from God at all? So many great movements have fallen apart that they were godly movements. God did miracles, signs, and wonders. And all of a sudden they got off track with this craziness. Look, we don't worship angels. I believe in angels. Angels are real. They're ministering spirits. But guess what the people of God are supposed to be? Ministering people. Why would I worship something that's got the same job I have? They just do it in a celestial way. We do it in the terrestrial way, to speak in the King James Version. They have a heavenly body. We have an earthly body. But we're all ministering Jesus to the world. I don't worship angels. I don't fall into this asceticism. Now, let me just give you this definition because it's a big fancy word and I had to look it up. Maybe you know what it means already, but I didn't. It's severe self-discipline and avoidance of all forms of indulgence, typically for religious reasons. So some people think that they can make themselves holy. I don't need God to be holy. Now, they don't say that, but what they're thinking in their mind is, if I fast long enough and I starve my body, then I will be holy. No. You'll kill yourself is what you'll do. And then you can't fulfill the purpose God had for you. Well, maybe if I beat myself and cut myself and do it. Do you realize that that's idolatry? That's what idol worshipers did in the Old Testament. They cut themselves. They beat themselves. Martin Luther tried all this stuff and came to the end of himself and realized none of it worked. It was just faith in God. Faith in God. That's all we need. We don't need radicalism in the church that this is extreme, that we say, oh, we ain't going to do this, we ain't going to do that. Look, I believe in holiness. I believe in living holy. But I also know that the Holy Spirit is the one that makes us holy and teaches us what that looks like. And we don't have to go to all these extremes, beating ourselves up in craziness. That's what other religions do. I don't have to think that I'm some great something and begin to manipulate a group of people and teach them my way of serving Jesus. No, the way to serve Jesus is in the Bible for all of us. And each of us have different things in our salvation that God's working in us and through us. And so my life is going to look a little bit different than your life because I have things and issues that God knows will pull me away from Him, and maybe that won't pull you away from Him. So I work out my own salvation, and I'm not going to sit here and manipulate people and pull you away from the faith. But what we're going to do is stay connected to Jesus. Listen, my hope is in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus only. Now, that doesn't mean I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Trinity, all right? But when I say Jesus only, I mean this, that He is the only one that connects us to God. And if we lose Jesus, we lose everything. We lose our connection to the Trinity. And so we need to not worry about, and look, some of us get all caught up in the prophetic utterances and, you know, the giftings of prophecy and all these things. Or then sometimes we'll jump over to something else and we're chasing something else and we have conference after conference. And I believe in conferences. I just came from a conference. I believe in all those. But all those things are supposed to point us to one person. His name is Jesus. And if you ever show up at a conference and you realize that all they ever did is point you to the conference speaker and how great that speaker was and all this, and now you should follow that ministry and you should become little followings of this ministry, then that's not of God. They're trying to separate the body and segment the body. And when we do that, we lose our focus because we're no longer connected to Jesus. Yes. And we lose the very bond of peace that keeps us together. What disrupts peace? Selfishness. Selfish desires. Well, I think I'm something, so you better follow my teaching, and you know, you better not listen to that Cuban pastor over there because he'll lead you the wrong way. Now, we laugh, but the sad truth is there's people out there doing that. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about here. Don't let them pull you away from God. Don't let them disconnect the body of Christ from the head. And I'm telling you right now, don't let any circumstance or situation that comes up in the future of this church, of this ministry, of your ministry, of what God has you doing, just because it becomes uncomfortable, just because it's not fun, don't let that pull you from Jesus. Don't do it. Because that's all that you need is Jesus. And I have faith in Jesus. I have so much faith in Jesus, I believe that when people aren't living right, He'll teach them to live right. I have so much faith in Jesus that when people believe something that I believe is an error, I can talk with them about it, I can speak and teach about it, but ultimately, I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to reveal it to them. I don't try to convince somebody with my words. Enticing words of man's wisdom is what Paul said. We don't need it. We need the preaching of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why I'm telling you that that's what the world needs from you. Yeah. They don't need some awesome argument that will convince them to be followers of Jesus Christ. They don't need you to know every right scripture. They don't need you to be able to quote it all verbatim. What they need is someone that loves them and cares for them and will do things for them, bend over backwards for them to show their compassion that they have for them. And in that, they will get to meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we stay bound together as we are connected to Jesus. That means this then. That it's not any ideologies that the church has that makes it happen. And I love this. I love this. There's some times where, you know, people think that, oh, some preacher has done such a great job because he's created a, you know, this big church and everybody's following him. And you know, the preacher, that's impossible. Because you all going to leave this place and you might remember one word I said, but you're not going to remember everything I said. How arrogant of me to think that, oh, I'm the one doing this because I'm so great and elegant and blah, 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 blah. You ain't even going to remember what I preached about. And I don't say that to be mean. It's just the truth. And some of you think I'm preaching on forgiveness right now. And other ones might be thinking I'm preaching on love while someone else is thinking he's preaching on forgiveness. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is the one talking to you, not me. We need to realize this. It's not about some great man or great woman building a great ministry. It is about the body of Christ working together under the head, Jesus. Amen? Amen. And it is that his peace that binds us together. It is his love that keeps us together. And we maintain that unity through him. So Ephesians 4:16 says this. For him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. Now, I skipped over a section of Ephesians 4 on purpose because we like to highlight the fivefold ministry so much in the church. All the time. We're talking about the fivefold ministry, aren't we? But do you realize that the only reason we have the fivefold ministry is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry? That means that the fivefold ministry is there. Us pastors are here to equip you and help you and engage you and to release you into doing the work of Jesus Christ. It is the whole body that does this. And so he's saying here, it's the ligaments that hold us together. And last week I told you, syndesmos is the Greek word there. And it actually can be translated a ligament, or it is a bond. The bond which binds us together, that holds us together. It is a ligament or by which the members of the human body are united together. What is the apostle teaching the church? The apostle of the Gentiles, teaching us Gentiles. He's saying here that it is the head that connects the body all together. And inside that body, there are ligaments that come and that bind us together that are coming from Jesus Christ alone. So we know that it is the bond of peace, right? But we also need to know this, that Colossians says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And we have to understand that in our body there are various ligaments. There are different things. And you need to understand in the body of Christ, there are a couple different ligaments that bind us together. One is peace, but the other one is love. Peace and love bind us together so that the body works in unity together. Just like our human body works, the body of Christ works, which is called the church. And I've been telling you this for a long time now, and I'm going to keep telling it to you over and over and over again. The church is not this building. It's not a building downtown. It's not a building anywhere. The church cannot be a building because it's a living, breathing organism. Yes. The church is the people of God. This is who we are. And the church is supposed to therefore have a movement. And the body cannot move and do what it needs to do unless we are bound together in unity through love and peace. I'm passionate about this, guys. I'm passionate about it. Because I've seen too many church people fighting with one another over the years, fussing about stuff that doesn't matter. You know, you probably do know this because you've been around for a little while there. A little while. Whole churches have split over the color of the carpet.
That's the truth.
That is so sad. Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes.
Craziness. Yeah. Whole churches have split over the color of the carpet. Now we got churches that don't even have carpet in it. Maybe it's because they're afraid it would cause division. You see that screen hanging up there? There's churches that split over because someone decided to put a screen in. Well, bless God, why would they have a screen in the church so we could read? All we need is the old red back hymnals. Well, maybe we wanted to clap our hands while we were singing. We couldn't hold the hymn book while we were... I mean, you remember the day where we had to put our finger in there and we'd smack the book like this so we'd clap? But there's whole churches that split over this stuff. That ain't God. That is not God. That's foolishness. And we wonder why our society is in the state that it's in. And we want to point the fingers at the government and the governmental system. But really, the fabric of our society started decaying with inside the church first, because we lost our connection to the head, and therefore we did not maintain the bond of peace and the bond of love. The Bible teaches us that we're supposed to prefer our brother and sister. Paul writes extensively to the Corinthian church, because if you've ever really studied that book out, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, I mean, they were so bad he had to write 3 letters to them. They were a mess. They had all kinds of craziness going on. All kinds. He had to tell them, look, you all fighting about one will eat meat that's been offered to an idol and one won't eat meat that's been offered to an idol. And what you're really, here's the root of it all. See if this makes sense. See if this sounds familiar. Well, they can't disrespect me. Tell me what I'm allowed to eat and not eat. I know that there ain't no power in those idols. There ain't no big deal. They can't put me down. I have the freedom and the liberty of the Spirit to do what I want to do. That's what they were saying. And he's saying, come on, guys, knock it off. Prefer your brothers and sisters. If it offends them that you eat meat that's been offered to an idol, then don't eat it. Do something that will cause you to keep unity instead of separating yourselves and pulling yourselves apart. Why do we do this? Because we begin to think that we're some great something and we know better than somebody else. And what happens is our salvation isn't really about Jesus anymore, but it's about us and who we want to be and who we think we can be. It's called selfish Christianity. And you know what happens to selfish Christians? They're closed off. And they cannot receive from the head anymore. And since they can't receive from Jesus Christ anymore, the word does not come in them anymore, and nothing is born out of them. It's a sad state of affairs. And it is the shape that most of the church world is in some places, in some areas. And that's why we fight and fuss about these dumb things. We want to be so cool with this revelation, knowledge that we got from the Word of God, that we think we need to share that now. Everybody's got to follow that and all this stuff. Maybe that was just for you. Maybe God was just speaking something to you. And now you want to put it on everybody else. And you sever, listen to me, you sever the ligaments of the body when you do this. Now I'm preaching hard on this because I'm telling you, God is preparing us for something so amazing in our body. We're seeing it every Sunday. We're seeing little different touches, little different things that God's doing. And it's growing in us and growing in us. But what I have seen is when God releases his glory and there is a great movement that begins, then people start getting goofy. They get in themselves. They think, we got to control this thing. Fighting starts behind the scenes. Oh, you can still come together and have a good time. And most of the people don't know what's going on. But the inner workings of that movement, whatever it is, whether it's a church or a revival or whatever, it begins to fall apart because people start listening to the whispers of the devil. And I am being preemptive as your pastor and preparing you and saying, let go of that nonsense.
Yes. Amen.
Let go of it. Because there are people who need Jesus. And it's our job to bring Jesus to them. Daniel wrecked me today, man. Because I didn't know he was going through all that. I didn't know the conflict that was in his soul. I knew it was going to be tough for him to leave his home and his friends and his family, but I didn't know he was going through all of that. And I didn't know that it was here that we offered an opportunity for a young man to rededicate his life to Jesus.
Yes.
The eternal impact that we're having, church, do you realize it? That's what it's about. Let's love each other. Let's love each other so much that we will not let go of one another.
Amen.
Let's keep the peace between us. Let's fight for peace. Let's fight for each other. Because we are the body of Christ. And we want to add more people to the body of Christ. Let's let go of our petty indifferences and things, because there is an eternal impact that we can have. Not only on the kids, but have you noticed our kids? Have you noticed what God's doing in our kids? And if we start trying to dictate to them, well, you know, that's not the way we're supposed to do. Let them worship freely. Let them come to God how they want to come to God.
Yes.
And let's trust that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father will do His job. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what it's about. Bringing people together in Jesus Christ. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us, let me just read some of it to you. I'm trying to close. But this is for us Pentecostals here. If we speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but we have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and knowledge and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. It's not about the extreme things that we can do as a church. It's not about being radical for Jesus and just turning the world upside down by our methods. Listen. I'm being real sincere with you right now, because I've had to check myself several times over the last 10 years to make sure that I'm being authentic and real, that I'm not just playing at this thing called church, because I grew up in this thing. And whether we want to admit this or not, any of us that have been coming to church for a while, we know how to do the church thing. But I don't want to just do the church thing. I don't want to play at church. I don't want to say the right words, sing the right songs, move the right way. Oh, on the right song, when it just hits, start shouting and dancing and all that. No. That's not me. I want to be authentic. I don't conjure up tears, church, when I'm preaching just to make you feel emotional. I don't practice how I'm going to move a crowd when I speak. I don't do those things because I want it to be authentic and real, and I want the power of the Holy Spirit to move in our midst.
Amen.
It's not about the methodology. What it's about is my love for you, your love for me, our love for each other, and most of all, our love for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it's time that we begin to understand and know that not everybody's path looks the same. But what really matters is, does our path lead to Jesus? And are we following Jesus as we walk that path? And it's time that we work together as the body of Christ. There's other scriptures I could bring up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but time wouldn't allow me. But I just want to share this with you, that the Bible says, and they can probably put it up on the slide for you, that Jesus is our peace, that has torn down the middle wall of separation. So I want to give you hope this morning in the message that I'm preaching to you. And I know I've gone long, but I needed to get all this out to you so they could stir in your heart. And this isn't one of those messages that we're going to respond here and now and have a great altar service. This is one of those messages that my prayer is that it nags at you all week. So much so that you think, oh man, I need to call brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so to make sure that they didn't misinterpret something I said, because I want to maintain the spirit of unity in the bond of peace and be bound together by love. I mean that too. Jesus has come and he's kicked down the wall that has separated us. He's kicked it down. Pastor Darius, language barriers don't even separate us anymore. Jesus kicked it down. The pigmentation of our skin doesn't separate us anymore. Jesus kicked the wall down. Whether we're rich or poor doesn't separate us anymore. Jesus kicked the wall down. Whether we have an affluent lifestyle and make all kinds of money and have all kinds of connections and have degrees, or if we're just digging a ditch somewhere and making pennies, Jesus has kicked the wall down and we are connected. That's why I don't like the term white churches and black churches. Are you kidding me? We are the church. We belong to Jesus. God has brought us together. And my word of encouragement for you this afternoon now is that you fight hell and everything that it throws at you to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and love. Don't let anything separate you from the body of Christ. Don't let anything separate you from Jesus Christ. Don't do it. Don't do it. Some of you have been through some things in the past. It's caused you to feel maybe unworthy. Well, I don't know if I'm worthy to be part of the body of Christ. You are. Jesus knocked down the wall that separated us. He's even connected us to God the Father. Some of you are still hanging on the edge. Well, yeah, but what about the fun that the world may offer me, like Daniel was talking about this morning? Maybe I want to try that out. You can't find joy there. You can't find peace there. And you can't find love there. Just come back to Jesus. Some of you have allowed church hurt to fester for a while. I know about church hurt. I could probably write a book about church hurt. I've experienced church hurt several different times in my life. But thanks be unto God for good teaching. Good teaching. People come alongside of me and say, "Now, Joe, I love you." And you know that wasn't God. That was people being people. And we all make mistakes. Just keep loving Jesus, Joe. Don't lose your love for Jesus, and he'll work it all out for you. And you know what? It was in those moments and those times that I grew stronger in my faith, stronger in my love for Jesus. I'm just going to be transparent, open to you this morning and tell you some prayers I've prayed to God before. I've told God, "See, you know what? I love you, but sometimes I can't stand your people." Now, I hope you're laughing because maybe you can relate with that experience. I told him that, man, Jesus, I love you so much, but your people drive me crazy. And I know I'm one of them. Sometimes I drive myself crazy. But I need your help with this. You know, that's an honest prayer. And you know what I found? Jesus helped me. He'll help you. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I'm telling you, I'm trying to quit, but this just feels so good right now. I just feel the love of God coming into this place, moving in our hearts, knitting us together closer and closer and closer. My wife just recently has been teaching me this, that if you try to continue to use muscles in your body and the ligaments that bind those muscles and bones and all the stuff together, and you don't first stretch out, you can hurt yourself. You can hurt yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like the stretching part, because that is uncomfortable for me, because I am not a flexible human being. So a lot of times I want to skip the stretch and go right to the workout. Man, let's just throw some weights up. Let's just hit this hard. Why do we need to stretch for? Because if you don't, you can hurt yourself. Why is God stretching us? Why is he stretching our faith out? Why is he stretching us? Because what he's about to give us and do in us and do through us, if we don't stretch first, we can hurt ourselves. God is life, God is light, and God is love. And this is my prayer this morning, that as he has manifested his light to us, which is the manifestation of his life, right? I've taught you that this past year. I've also come to know that when God's life is experienced, that's what love is. It's what love is. It's the experience of God's life. And so my prayer this morning is that you will experience the life of God in such a tangible way that you will receive that love and you will walk in that love so strongly that it will begin to change the world around you. Not first it'll change your inner thinking, your inner feelings, your soul, but then from there, he said, the Bible said, I read it to you, he's the God over us all. He's the God in us all, but he's also the God working through us all. And so that love will begin to work through you, that other people may experience the power of Jesus Christ. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in this local body here. We are part of your body. We're just one piece of the puzzle, and many of us come together. We are many members, and we all have different activities and different giftings and different ways that we do this, God. But let us come together and work together like we never have before. Now, Father, I just, by your grace, release your love to be experienced right now. Your covenant, your commitment that you've made with us to be experienced right now in the hearts of those who have been wounded and hurt. Some may be church hurt. Some maybe feel like they brought things on themselves and they keep punishing themselves. God, I pray that you will teach them how to forgive themselves because you have forgiven us. Let us embrace your blood that was shed for us on the cross so that we can be redeemed and renewed and set free from all sin. And those things will not hold us back anymore that are trying to whisper in our mind the memories that try to come up and cause us to be cautious and careful and hold back because we don't want to be hurt again. Father, let us just trust you and trust your love. God, I pray that throughout this week as we leave this place, this word will continue to stir in us. And by your Holy Spirit, we will begin to be so eager to maintain unity in our body and be bound together by peace that we will rise up against anything that tries to disrupt that peace And we will fight for one another. We will love one another with the love of Jesus Christ. And we will see you move through us in a mighty way. Father, we want your outpouring. We want the tongues. We want the power of God the fall. We want the prophecy. We want to see you move. We want to have faith that will move mountains. But God, we cannot have it if we do not have your love. So let us love one another. Let us love the people around us until we see them delivered and set free from the bondages that they are dealing with. I thank you for what you're doing in your body here. I thank you for the minds that you're setting free, the broken hearts that you're putting back together right now, for healing and for unity. And we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I know this has been different, but we're going to go ahead and dismiss you this morning. We already kind of had a time of prayer, but God loves you. We love you, and have a wonderful Sunday.